strong arms.
Yeah.
What do people use for weights if they don't have weights? Is there a go-to, like, make a heavy thing at home?
I mean, I could Google something now.
I was thinking of putting some rocks in some jars.
That sounds like so much work.
But, like, it's not. And it just sounds like it.
I mean, you have jars, but then you're gonna go to the park. Like,
gravel over there.
You're going to the park. You're gonna shovel.
Yeah, just scoop up some rocks.
And you're gonna bring it home, and every day
I'm gonna lift my rock jar. Why would I spend money for a thing just to have a heavy thing? I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's easier to grip, and you know exactly what the weight is.
Use a milk jug.
Oh, that makes sense.
Canned goods.
A milk jug is good, because you can just fill it with water. Look, they even say put rocks in it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I guess the milk jug makes more sense because it has a handle than just a jar full of rocks.
I was just enjoying you going to the park, seeing the crazy lady at the park
scooping up rocks
and putting them into a mason jar and looking around.
Measuring them out really well.
Mm-hmm. Looking around like a squirrel who's found some nuts.
Oh, nuts! That would work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of squirrels in that park. I could steal their nuts. Mm-hmm. And they're not very good at hiding. I'm telling you. I see them burying their nuts all the time. And I could just steal them whenever I want.
I haven't seen a script, but I've no doubt. If it isn't up to par, they'll chuck it out. Ooh, la, 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 la. All my actor friends are cracking wise, but I can see the envy in their eyes.
Sound like the people around you, like so that
no,
people
we all just emulate. We all just emulate what we hear constantly without realizing it. It's only that that's what we can actually hear.
I
think about how much, even after just listening to a podcast over and over again, we just pick up the speech patterns of the McElroys. Now I'm trying to pick up the speech patterns of the podcast members.
My ex used to always say, like, you have a southern drawl.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I realized I was listening to a podcast and the host had a southern drawl. Oh. So I was just picking it up and was just like, it's just like a middle American dude. And like, yeah, I was just like talking with a bit of a drawl, I guess, because I can't even do it. Like, I'm trying to think of how I would talk with a drawl and it wasn't on purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was bizarre. Welcome to Fan Fiction Writers Room. I am your editing manager, Spencer Suarez.
And I'm your managing editor, Liz Cernick.
Here on Fan Fiction Writers Room, we take characters that you submit and weave them into a masterpiece in the way all great stories were meant to be told.
By amateurs on the internet.
If you'd like to suggest characters, send them over to ffwrshow@gmail.com. So one of our characters this week is Gurr from Invader Zim.
Gurr.
And what Gurr always makes me think of is...
I haven't watched that show in so long.
No, yeah. It's been ages since... But it was everyone's favorite character on Invader Zim.
Absolutely.
Because he was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
He said random things.
Yeah.
He followed his bliss. He just ate food.
He loved to eat cupcakes.
Loved to eat waffles.
God, it was so early 2000s.
Yeah, it's like
so
that show
late 90s, little random monkey baking cheese.
Is
cake.
The early 2000s. If you wanted to, I hope that in generations, that is the show that they give to the children to be like, this is what the 2000s were like. Mm-hmm. It was very purple and very green, like very garish.
Yeah.
And, just like a lot of lol random, a lot of food jokes. Mm-hmm. But I was on a roleplay forum back in the early 2000s.
Oh.
And one of the roleplays I did was an Invader Zim roleplay. And I remember that the person roleplaying as Gurr always annoyed me because, like, I thought as the intellectual, it was like, Gurr does more than just sing the doom song. Gurr is an art.
Yes.
It's not just lol random. It's a nuanced
humor.
There's a nuance to the lol randomness. It was like...
Here, watch an expert.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even remember who I roleplayed as. Maybe just like a Urk or maybe Dib or something.
It wasn't Zim?
No, I wasn't Zim. Like, I got on the roleplay forum a little bit late. Like, there was a time in the early 2000s where everyone just was making, like, boards for, like, their groups of friends.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of, like, pre-Facebook Messenger, post-MSN.
Live Journal?
Yeah, I think it was post-Live Journal a little bit. Basically, it was, like, everyone would just make a forum for themselves and, like, just tell their friends to, like, go on this forum. And I was on, like, three different of these forums like this. And, yeah, just like, this one was like, with my more nerdy friends, and it was basically all, like, role plays of like, Invader Zim, and Avatar The Last Airbender, and...
It sounds great.
Yeah, it was...
I never interacted with anyone online in any meaningful way.
What were you doing on the internet in the early 2000s?
I was mostly just reading webcomics, but I wouldn't, like, comment on anything.
Yeah.
I mostly,
like, kept to myself.
Oh, and talking to friends
well.
On MSN.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. MSN was a time.
Yeah.
I remember, like...
But only, like, in real life friends.
Yeah.
High school friends.
Yeah, I only now, as a 25-year-old adult, have, like, internet friends.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I never had that growing up. And... It's interesting with the, like, success of something like Homestuck, where part of the success is, like, kids who are like, I don't have in real life friends. I only have internet friends, just like the characters on Homestuck.
Right.
Like, that is something that I didn't relate to when I tried to read Homestuck. Was like, because
for the longest time,
I didn't
understand what was going on. Yeah. Even I was like, well, why are they talking to each other at all? I'm so confused. How do they go to high school together if they're in different cities?
Exactly. Yeah. It seems like we were similar in the we both kind of were insular in our internet experience, because these forums were just forums with my groups of friends
high
school
friends.
Together. It was just like everyone would make. Like, I was on this one called Fork, where it was
Say that again for me?
Fork.
Spell it.
F-W-O-R-K.
Okay. So, like a fork.
Like a fork.
But a fork.
The little mascot that my friend Liam drew was just a fork with sunglasses.
Everything about that sentence is so great.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And this forum had, like, more serious roleplays on it.
Okay. With, like, a story
going
on?
These were, like, original stories where there was one where it was, like, the apocalypse. No. It was like, post-apocalypse.
Oh.
And it was, like,
Were they original characters?
They were original characters.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And, like, there was basically the, force of people oppressing everyone, and it was like keeping everyone in line, sort of like, I don't know, The Giver or Fahrenheit 451.
Right, the fascist oppressive Big Brother government.
And then there were the rebels, and
some sort of alliance, a loosely based alliance of people rebelling.
So, at first, like, everyone was like, either... I'm gonna be the bad guys or the good guys, essentially. And I was like, I'm gonna play a neutral character.
Because I'm an intellectual.
I'm an intellectual. So I created just a person living in the society and, like, ended up being, like, recruited by the rebels. They were like, you know, they, like, blew my mind. They were like, look how you're being forced
into this.
They
gave you these special sunglasses, and then you could read the real messages on the billboards.
Exactly. Yeah, I've just been thinking about that a lot. Just, like, how... I don't know. I got into a large conversation in Toronto. I was just in Toronto. And just about, like... about Homestuck, because this person I met... was huge into Homestuck while it was happening, and, like...
And that person's name was Andrew Hussey.
Yes. I was talking to the creator of Homestuck.
He was talking about how into this story he was.
It's like, man, have you checked out Home? It was great.
It's so good. And yeah. It like really reminds me of my friends and like how we have friends on the internet.
Yeah. But
no, continue. It wasn't Andrew Hussey, obviously.
Yeah. He was just talking about how, like, that's the only fandom he's ever been in.
Oh.
And how, like, deep he got into this fandom. Mm-hmm. And it was just, like, exciting because Homestuck would update several times a day, right? It would, I believe so. I believe, if I remember right, it wasn't just, like, a daily upload. It was, like, they would upload 3 today and then tomorrow maybe there'd be 5. Huh. And it would, like, bizarre. Just go up when Andrew was done every page.
Right.
And yeah, so he was talking about how, like, him and his friends, they would just, like, you know, all gather in a chat room and just, like, talk about what they think is going to happen and Homestuck. And it just sounded very exciting. And it reminded me of, like, my days on, like, early 2000s roleplay websites and stuff. Yeah.
I, completely coincidentally, I came across a post on Reddit that was the complicated history on how something called MS Paint Adventure Profit came to be. MSPA Profit. It was a person's Tumblr that they created that would predict how much Homestuck updates there were going to be, like an hour or two before it actually updated. And it was the person that ran this Tumblr just gave this complicated history of like, oh, I was just lurking in this one place and I found this. Apparently, Andrew Hussey had been hosting his comic in this really weird, convoluted way, and this person just stumbled upon it and realized that the numbers connected. And so he was like, I think this is the back end of Andrew Hussey updating Homestuck. And so he just made this profit...
That's so funny.
Tumblr thing for fun for him and his friends and to see how accurate it could be. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, yeah, no, it was. It was just...
I bet that would
found the back end of it.
That would be like looking into the Matrix, like the bit in the Matrix where the what's his face is like, I don't even see the code anymore. I see blonde, brunette, redhead.
He's looking through this like flicker image back, and I just see update and new posts.
Yeah, I see. Troll.
But it blew people's minds at the time.
No, yeah, of course,
I'm sure.
So. I was thinking, a couple weeks back, we did a segment, sort of a segment, like, on the fly, ended up talking about the Digidestins, outfits.
They're amazing fashion, yes.
And I thought that would be a fun segment, just, like, I'm a big fan of fashion.
Yes.
And I was thinking, like, let's do a fashion criticism segment of the podcast. And so this week, I want to do... Donkey Kong characters.
Okay. Now, this works better with a visual medium.
True.
But we can still give it our best shot.
Yes.
And we could maybe make a YouTube thing.
Oh, yeah. Like
like a simple, basically audio on a, on a YouTube video.
That, yeah, that would.
Then you can just also see the, I don't know, maybe halfway there.
So there is, of course, Mr. Donkey Kong, who just wears a tie.
This is a Wikia that has like the fanon
because he's Donkey Kong the
history of Donkey Kong because it's Donkey Kong the third,
right?
Where Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong, and then there's a missing father Donkey Kong between the two of them. Man, I love the lore of the made up lore of Donkey Kong
because the missing Link is Donkey Kong Jr., right? Because Donkey Kong isn't Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah,
because
Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong. And then Donkey Kong Jr. would be Donkey Kong the Third's father.
Oh, okay. So somewhere along the line, we lost Jr.
Yeah.
We don't know where Jr. went.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of Donkey Kong's tie?
I will say iconic.
It is iconic, that is for sure.
Understated.
It's simple. It's nice.
It makes him look very naked, though.
It does.
Because you'll recognize a tie as a thing that a human would wear.
Right.
Usually accompanied with the rest of his clothing.
I also want to point out...
Donkey Kong has a big, strong gorilla body.
I want to point out how Donkey Kong's brow works, because it's a very interesting... interpretation of how...
I don't like looking at it and thinking about it.
Ape biology works. If you look at a picture of an ape and then a picture of Donkey Kong...
That's really...
It's bizarre.
I don't like it.
It's like, where did... How
why
did they come up with
that?
Why
did you do this to me?
I'm sorry. You're now going to look at this iconic character of Donkey Kong in this new light.
Because, yeah, you're right.
Like, I get what they were going for, but it's like...
I guess it's blank skin around his eyes, but...
It's so weird.
The fact that it's black in the background?
Yeah.
Behind his eyes?
So behind his eyes is black.
Yeah.
But then he has this... It overlaps with, like, plain skin.
Yeah.
And then behind that is his fur.
It does seem to look like... There's two mouths on his face, and one of his mouths
is
in a gaping
that.
Grin with two eyeballs inside it.
Yes.
And the eyeballs are inside his head.
So...
Which I guess all of our eyeballs are technically inside our skulls.
Right.
But not in so obvious and literal a way.
It's like, maybe it worked in 2D better, but I guess this version of Donkey Kong has always been a 3D character.
Even the Nintendo, Super Nintendo,
yeah.
Character, it was like semi...
It was like the 3D rendered, and yeah. Then they, you know, made it look fit mm-hmm. on a Nintendo.
You know, what I always loved is the Donkey Kong TV show.
Oh, yes.
I knew it as the Donkey Kong TV show on YTV, but I don't think it was a YTV-specific production. Or was it?
It might have been a Canadian show. I'm not entirely sure. But
I hope it was, because it was fabulous.
It was a good show.
I was rewatching an episode because they were just, like, laughing about how weird it is. And it finally clicked why I loved this show so much, because they always had music.
Yeah, it was a very musical show.
I never even really, like... And it was, like, really catchy, poppy, sort of, like... Island flavor. I feel like there was like a bit of a reggae beat,
a
funky beat in every song.
So now we're going to look at Tiny Kong. So the original Tiny Kong is like meant to look like this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She has these giant pigtails and like...
Now, that is disconcerting because monkeys don't have hair. They have fur. And Donkey Kong doesn't have hair. He has fur.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Suddenly very long
that all
pigtails?
Of the Lady Kongs have long blonde hair.
Yeah, I think what's
it's
most...
It's super gross and I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. From a sexist design standpoint, it's gross, but also like...
No, I mean it's gross
looking
by...
At it.
Looking
I don't
at
like
it.
Looking at
like, I'm trying to keep this unpolitical or whatever. I'm just like, I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
Especially because they're all blonde.
Yes,
and
they're
yet
all blonde.
Fur is still brown.
I'm gonna now bring up a picture of Dixie.
It makes it a thing they're wearing on their head.
Dixie
God,
has
it's so
bangs.
Bad. It's
Dixie
so
has
bad.
Bangs.
Like, that design would be so cute if she didn't have any hair. If she just had fur. Adorable monkey wearing a pink beret.
It would be adorable, like a tied her
right,
little...
so stylish, and she's
yeah.
got like her mascara and her
exactly.
earrings.
That would be so cute, but that's
just like
is it a wig?
It sure looks like one. It looks like it's attached to her hat.
So we're gonna move over to Candy Kong, who is of course the worst Kong.
I hate it. What is this from? Is this from a game?
This is from DK Jungle Climber. If you go to the Donkey Kong Wikia, this is the first picture that shows up on Candy Kong's wiki.
It looks like a fan.
It does, right? She's so voluptuous. And she's wearing a crop top.
Also, she's entirely furred. She doesn't have the skin that Donkey Kong has on his belly and chest. And it makes it look
even
like she's
Diddy Kong
a...
has a tummy.
Yeah, she's wearing some sort of bizarre fur-colored spandex suit. Like, it's latexed onto her.
Yeah.
Look at her hands. They're even like...
Her hands look so human. Yeah.
It's like a sleeve of fur.
It is. It doesn't... It just ends like it's a long-sleeve shirt.
Everything about it is so bad.
And she's just wearing a... Her top just says candy.
Mm-hmm.
She just is like, yeah, that's my name.
She is.
And she wears lipstick. It's just like...
A hair, just wig. And it's so like 90s hair too,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
With the middle part. And the two big old wigs.
It's someone who's heard of anime but has never watched it. Designed, like, was like, oh, the kids like anime, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they designed her hair.
Yeah.
And let's go to Diddy Kong. Of course.
Oh, I love Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong's design is actually very good.
Fave. I love him. Because like, he has a tail, and monkeys are great. Monkeys are so good.
See, this is what we want in a Donkey Kong design, is just like a monkey that, or an ape, looks like a monkey, but then is wearing people clothes.
I sure wish that Donkey Kong's eyes just worked like that.
Yeah, me as well.
Like, why can't they? I guess because they've painted themselves into a corner with, like, this is his official canon design.
But it's but like...
just fix it! Just make it better!
It is so weird. It's one of those things that's always bothered me. We'll end with Lanky Kong.
We're not gonna do Funky Kong?
I mean...
or Cranky Kong? Funky Kong is, of course, in...
the new...
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, Cranky Kong has the same problem as all the girls in that... he's got fur. this wig on his head.
Yeah.
And, it's like, and you can make a monkey look old without giving it a beard.
I mean, it is pretty funny that he has a beard.
It's hilarious.
But it is weird.
It's so weird.
Maybe it's because you can see the top of his head where his hair is actually growing out of his head.
It's
that it
like,
doesn't look so much like he's just wearing it as a wig. It's more
he's
like...
he's got a bald spot.
but it's still fur. Bald then.
Yeah.
But his like wrinkles on the weird eyebrow thing he's got too just makes it look like it's made out of a gross foam rubber style.
Yeah.
Oh man. Guy. He's got a nice sweater vest though. I do like his sweater vest.
It's a very smart sweater vest. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do one more? Do we want to do funky? Alright, we'll do funky.
Why are you even doing a fashion Kong.
All right. God. We are now looking at Funky Kong.
He's so good.
He's the most 90s.
I didn't know he had a full outfit.
Yeah.
Even in the Super Nintendo games.
Oh, I think so.
That's his introduction, is it not?
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, maybe it's because I watched the show.
Yeah.
And I always thought of him as just a bandana was his outfit.
Right. I think
he's really good cutoff shorts.
He's had his cutoff shorts and his wife beater top for a while. In the official art. I love that he tucks his tank top into his jean shorts.
Well, so that you can properly see his nice sparkly belt.
Yeah, exactly.
Sparkly belt buckle.
Where do you think he gets those glasses?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yeah. He shops at Tom Hardy for sure.
That's a store? That's a brand.
It's a brand. Yeah, I think this was fun.
Sunglass cut.
The problem is it's a little bit visual. So let us know.
Yeah, it's so visual.
Let us know if you're familiar enough with Donkey Kong to find this fun.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'm sorry. We'll put up a video of it.
We could maybe have like a spin-off show. Where it's us, you know, have you ever seen that Drawfee show? Where they are drawing and screen capturing at the same time?
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
With
I think that could be fun.
Two screens.
Yeah. We could do that for sure. Okay, do you want to write some fan fiction with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So.
Really do.
Our characters this week, I mean, we've mentioned Gurr.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm gonna, because we have such a grab bag this week, I'm just gonna list them all.
Okay.
We have Captain Underpants, Gurr from Invader Zim, Harry Potter, the Green Army Man from Toy Story, and Johnny Manziel, who is also known as Johnny Football, a real-life football player that was formerly on the Cleveland Browns. He was the Cleveland Browns quarterback. Now...
he was called Johnny Football?
He was called Johnny Football.
He was so good that they were like, you are
Johnny
the embodiment
exactly.
of the sport.
He's sort of like a Wayne Gretzky in that he...
like how we all called him Wayne Hockey.
Wayne Hockey. It's just like
Hockey Wayne.
He was drafted at 19 and was like, this is going to be like the guy.
Mm.
As far as I understand, I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong.
Because I looked it up and he is not playing anymore.
He's not playing right now. And I know that the person that submitted this just wants us to dunk on this guy because he had a problem with drugs. And you know what?
Okay. Unlike all our other sports heroes.
Exactly. That have been sweet. But, like, his problem with drugs got to the point where he got kicked out of the NFL.
Like, steroid drugs and...
No, it was cocaine.
Cocaine drugs?
It was cocaine. Hmm. And it's like, you know... Right now, I checked, I watched a pretty recent interview, and it sounds like he's sober. He's maybe going to join the CFL. And, you know, he's dealt with some anger management and depression. And like,
what it sounds like he's really like working on himself.
What I'm getting at is the person clearly wanted me to just dunk on this guy, wanted us to dunk on this guy. And like,
but he's not a basketball player.
That's pretty good.
So why would we?
That's pretty good.
That's all for me, folks. Yeah. See you next time.
This is Liz's final episode. Liz just jumped that shark.
Going out with a bang. Because I was looking it up and I was like, there's nothing about this guy. Nothing's fun. Yeah. But I guess it's the fact that he had a rather...
Yeah, he... Like, the meme around him, if there is a meme around him, is that he does a lot of blow.
Okay.
Does a lot of coke.
Now, did he have a reputation for beating women?
He does have a, some sort of dispute that got settled out of court.
Okay.
That I...
Again, kind of just feels par for the course of a professional sportsman.
Unfortunately, yes. But, once again, he is taking anger management courses and... Mm-hmm. He's going to get married to his girlfriend of many years. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's on the up, Johnny Manziel. Well,
I gotta say, Johnny Manziel, power to you.
Power to you.
Good luck to you, my
friend. On Fan Fiction Writers Room, we say, hey, Johnny Football, you're Johnny all right with us.
Yeah, there's nothing I can add to that.
Yeah.
You said it. Said it perfectly.
So, I mean, I don't know.
How did he play football?
He was a quarterback. So, good.
That means he threw the ball real fast.
That means...
No, he caught the ball after it was kicked, and then he ran real fast.
If I know my football, which I don't, they all huddle up.
Yes.
And then they try to get the ball.
They scrum,
and then they throw it to the quarterback, and the quarterback's the guy who...
Oh, and then you throw to the quarterback. The quarterback run.
No, the quarterback's the guy that throws it.
The quarterback throws it
to the runners.
The running back?
The running back.
Maybe. I don't know.
But he's essentially the playmaker. He's the like the guy that makes the everything happen.
He makes the plays.
So
brings home the bacon.
And we could tell a story about Johnny Manziel just like self-actualizing.
No. Unless someone turned him into Captain Underpants. And Captain Underpants did so much blow. But Johnny Manziel is sober. He can't have that anymore.
So you want the dual life to be Captain Underpants, Johnny Manziel instead of Mr. Krupp.
Because that's the thing of Captain Underpants, is it not?
Yes.
If I know my Captain Underpants trailers.
Yes.
And that's all I know of the franchise. And that's all I need, apparently, because they give you the entire story in the trailer.
You have been very mad at trailers recently.
I'm so mad at trailers.
Do you want to dunk on trailers for a minute?
Yeah, I do want to dunk on trailers.
Dunk on trailers.
What the hell is up with trailers? They're stupid. They keep giving you the entire movie, point by point, beat by beat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even need to watch the movie anymore. Stupid. I already know that Tom Cruise and, what's his name? Superman.
Henry Cavill
are going to have a big old beat-em-up in a public bathroom.
But isn't that why you want to go see that movie? Because you're like, I want to see Tom Cruise and Superman fight each other with their arms.
I'm going to be expecting it. I'm going to be waiting for it.
You're going to be sitting there the whole time.
Fighting each other.
It's if you call the movie Batman v Superman, all the other stuff, it's like, when are you getting to the fight?
Yeah, but they also just show you how the fight's going to work and what's going to happen, and it's stupid. It's dumb. I hate it.
Okay.
But I've been trying not to watch trailers as much as I can, but it's real hard when you're in the movie theater and they play a bunch of trailers right in front of your face, and you got to close your eyes and plug your ears.
Yes.
And duck your head down.
Yes.
And if someone wants to scooch by you to get to their seat,
which
well,
of
they're
course
just
they
gonna
will.
Have to wait.
Yeah. They're going to have to wait till the Solo trailer is complete.
Yeah. I keep accidentally starting to watch trailers, and then I realize, oh no, I care about this movie, and I have to duck my head. Oh yeah. No, I saw a second of Lando Calrissian. Oh no.
Like, do you...
And now the Solo trailers are getting to the point where they're not teaser trailers anymore. They're real trailers. They're just and real now trailers. They're giving you actual plot, and it's like, don't just tell me the plot straight through. Come on.
Woody Harrelson's like, Lando, I don't want you on my ship because you're pansexual. And Lando's like, oh.
You're not the kind of ally that I thought you were. I'm taking my rainbow flag and leaving.
I thought you were an ally, Woody.
You're no ally of mine.
Yeah.
As we know, he's in the official Star Wars canon.
Yes.
We all saw it on the script.
Exactly.
What was that about? Was it a director said in an interview?
They're doing like the J.K. Rowling thing where it's just
Lando's
like...
Lando's been by this whole time.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, buddy.
But like, not. Like,
yeah.
Like, no.
Like, no.
Not.
Yeah. 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 So, okay. Let's play with Gurr.
Okay.
Gurr.
He is a robot.
Robot.
Wears a dog suit.
Yes. So Gurr is the assistant to Zim, the robot assistant. He's very hyperactive, very hyperactive, very enthusiastic. He likes food. He mostly spouts nonsense. Yeah.
Was he was a defective robot, right?
Yeah, he's a bunch of trash. They grabbed some trash and they threw some stuff in the brain and dropped him down, and he's meant to be
a robot.
It's meant to be a Sir unit, which are very good robots. But he became a Gurr robot, which I guess is a very bad robot.
That really makes a lot of sense.
Yes. This was a very good television show. Go to the Hot Topic and yourself ale.
If you were a big Zim fan back in the day and you rewatched the show, it's just as good as you remember it being. Don't worry.
You can
go in and watch all of it. And
we're all anticipating the Invader Zim movie coming out.
Yeah, it will probably be just as good as the Invader Zim TV show was and still is. In perpetuity until forever.
We're sorry if you really are a Zim stan.
We were too.
We were too.
And are.
We are
but
allowed.
But like, come on, we're adults now. We can dunk on early 2000s culture.
We have taxes. We have jobs. We're allowed to think that Zim maybe didn't age very well.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gurr is like, I don't know. Gurr probably wants some food, right?
I'm going to say a cupcake.
Okay. He wants a cupcake, but he doesn't want to get off he's watching the Scary Monkey Show. That's what it's called. The Scary Monkey Show. His favorite TV show.
Right.
And he doesn't want to get up to go to the store to get a cupcake. What does he do?
Calls up Skip the Dishes.
He calls up Skip the Dishes. And who is working for Skip
Johnny
the Dishes?
Johnny Manziel, because he can't get work with the NFL anymore.
Oh, okay, yeah, Johnny
He's
Manziel.
Delivering people's
okay,
groceries.
So Gurr goes onto his iPhone.
Yeah.
And he goes to skipthedishes.com. He enters promo code EAT for 15% off.
Wow.
And Johnny...
Appleseed.
Johnny Football.
Johnny Hotcakes? Johnny Football comes.
Johnny Football comes to give him some cupcakes. You know?
The end. That was a really good story.
Great,
oh
great
my God.
Fan fiction.
Like for the first time, a short story.
Yeah.
Like a taste, a bite.
Exactly.
Bite size.
Gurr unit, never used.
Needs cupcakes.
You want to take a break?
Sure.
All right, we'll catch you in a minute on Fan Fiction Writer's Room.
Are you, like, testing yourself how slowly you can say that? Every episode you've been saying it. Hi, and welcome to Fan Fiction Writer's Room.
I'm just having a good time. I don't know why I'm doing that.
I'm not complaining.
All right.
I'm great Harry Hulkamaka, lycanthrope, a fat hair in my soap. Oh, yeah.
I never read any of the funny gross internet
things. Yeah, I never saw Two Girls, One Cup.
Me neither, and I'm glad now.
Tub Girl.
I don't even know what that is, but I can imagine.
Lemon Party?
Oh, is that an actual thing?
Yeah. Ooh. I think Lemon Party is old people peeing.
I'm sure there's pee somewhere.
Yeah. There's one where a dick is swinging in a circle. I don't remember what that's called.
Circle Dick.
Circle Dick. So, hey, buddy, check out this website, this cool website I found, circledick.com.
It's just a single YouTube video with looping of a dick going around in a circle.
Yeah.
But back in the day, oh, Matt, before Vine.
Before Vine,
oh, yeah. The kids were all about that Circle Dick. Mm-hmm. Saying Circle Dick to your friends, and then your friend Rick rolls you, but then you Circle Dick him back. Oh, man.
I hate it when I Rick roll someone, and then they Circle Dick me.
Oh, man. Then there was the double Circle Rick Dick, where it's Rick Astley's dick just swinging in a circle.
Yeah.
Dick rolls. Oh, boy.
Welcome back to Fan Fiction Writer's Room.
It's like we never left.
It's like we've been here the whole time. So, where we left off, we, like, didn't know exactly what to write. What, like, I think, let's figure out a scenario or, like, a genre, and let's shove some of these boys in there.
Porn?
I mean, we could write...
Do you want to become a... online YouTube cam girl?
Okay, I like the idea of girl becoming a cam girl.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea. So, okay. Girl has to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
And is struggling to pay rent. And, like, so starts cam girling.
Yes.
And, of course, because...
And then on the side, ASMR videos as well. Apparently right. There's a large overlap in the two.
Oh, I imagine so.
As I discovered.
And also Twitch streaming, right? To my
confusion and somewhat horror.
Like, Camgirl's now Twitch stream.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
ASMR.
Big old
thing. And Camgirl, like, it's like a whole thing. Like, they're just...
I mean, it makes sense if you're selling the personality of, mm-hmm. like, your cool virtual girlfriend, basically.
Yeah, like... Twitch streamers are essentially cam girls.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, selling video game, playing, funny video game playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Gurr starts...
Let's Players are just cam girls.
Let's Players
the
are
game,
just...
A lot of people don't know, but the Game Grumps did get their start
cam
as
girl.
Cam girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should check out the Game Grumps ASMR channel.
Yes.
It's really soothing.
It is. Ego Raptor's voice is just...
Yeah,
good.
And he just mumbles
good.
Into the mic and, like, smashes a cake. I don't know anything about Game Grumps.
I don't know anything about ASMR, so we're struggling here.
Oh, so we got half of,
I mean, I also don't know anything about Game brain. Grumps. I tried to watch the Sonic the Hedgehog Sonic 06 playthrough back when JonTron was on.
Oh, boy, back
Game
in the
Grumps.
Day.
And I was like, this is, like, kind of funny. And
you
then
should
I
check
did...
out JonTron's Cam Girl
yeah.
channel.
Where,
very sexy, but a lot of the N-word.
Yeah, very racist, very sexy.
Real big problem.
It's that genre of porn.
Mm-hmm.
I've never actually watched this, to be fair. I just know it exists because of the internet. Where it's a black man having sex with a white woman, and then there's...
Cuckold?
The white father standing there, angry.
Yeah.
That
and he just has to watch.
And he's just watching, and he's just like, stop having sex with my daughter.
Oh man, it's making me hot just thinking about
yeah, it's,
that.
It's,
God, porn is so weird.
Porn is the grossest. I was tabling at TCAF last week, and I was standing, I mean, I was sitting at my table, and I got into a conversation with someone, like, a friend of mine, but a friend I'd met, like, the day before.
Mm-hmm.
At my table, and people were walking by
that
and looking at my
name
things.
Was Andrew Hussey.
You really like this joke. And we just started talking about how, like, porn is gross. And, like...
As one does.
Specifically how Pornhub is gross. And, like, we were just, like, talking as, like, people were, like, picking up my books and my pens and products and looking at them. And just like, yeah,
parents
like,
and their kids and
It's just like I get like horny and I go on Pornhub and I just like just get grossed out and I just close it.
Just
and, like,
feel bad for a while.
This is like the conversation we're having in the middle of a library. Like, anyways.
Oh man. Is TCAF always held in the like Vancouver?
Toronto Reference Public Library, yeah.
The one that they fought in Scott Pilgrim.
In Scott Pilgrim 2? One of them. Where Knives and Ramona fight, yes.
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 Cool.
It
and
is
were
very
there
cool
indie girls fighting each other?
There was this couple walk by and it was a lady and a boy, and the lady had blue hair and was very cool looking.
And the boy was Michael Cera.
And the boy was like this, like, the lamest looking white boy you ever did see. And it was like, oh my god, it's Scott Pilgrim and Ramona.
Oh,
they're real. It's real life. And the end.
Ah, very good. And they got in some kung fu battles.
They said, you're the salt of the earth. I mean, the scum of the earth. That was Kim, I guess, not Ramona or Scott.
I forget.
I was trying to think of a more relevant quote, and that was the one that came to mind.
Yes.
Anyways, so Mr. Gurr.
His YouTube channel. Now, what would Gurr's YouTube channel be called? What would his, like, handle, moniker be?
Sexy Gurr. Gurr.
The, like, G-R-R-R-L? Girl?
Girl
or maybe just
dot
grr.
Waffles, probably.
G-R-R-R dot waffles.
Yeah.
Well, Gurr Waffles.
Gurr Waffles.
Nice.
Now, does Gurr understand what camgirling is?
No.
Yeah.
But canonically, no. But for these purposes, perhaps.
Zim has designed a human costume as, you know, like those disgusting human costumes where their faces is the mouth. You remember this?
No.
On Invader Zim, there was like Zim's human costume where he just put like pupils over his eyes and a wig, right?
Right.
There was also other human costumes that him and Gurr would wear where it was like a giant head.
I thought it was going to be like adult size.
No. Oh. It was like they were still both children, but it would be like a giant head and then a big hole in the mouth, and that's where their face would
go.
Like
a mascot style.
Yeah, it was sort of like a mascot style. And so I'm imagining Gurr is wearing like that, but it's like a sexy lady.
Right. Now, I do like the idea of Gurr having makeup videos as well.
Yeah.
Applied
to
his big old mascot.
So Gurr is just an influencer.
Yeah. He's a content creator.
Okay.
On YouTube. He's just a YouTuber.
Okay, so Gurr is...
And some of his videos do get a little racy.
Okay.
So he does have the... Is there like a separate YouTube hub for that? Because some of them are like age
like,
locked.
You can't camgirl on YouTube.
Yeah, but you can.
You would
like,
have to go
you can,
to
like,
Live Jasmine or something.
You can make ASMR videos on YouTube though that end up just getting age locked in a weird way.
But like, yeah, you can't get too sexy on YouTube.
Where does one do that?
I don't know. I mean, Live Jasmine is the one that comes up when I am going to regular porn sites.
Live Jasmine.
Yeah, like if I go to Pornhub.com, Live Jasmine will pop up and it'll be like, hey, look at some cam girls. And I'll be like, no. And I'll click out.
See ya.
Bye.
So the idea is that it's live as well.
Yes.
So people are...
So you're commenting, you're telling...
to them.
You're telling like, hey,
like,
show us your feet.
Now... Shove this banana in your ear.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think most of them will have a paywall bit where, like, if you pay a certain amount of money, then you go into a private chat with them.
Ooh.
So I believe this is how camgirling works.
Okay.
I am not entirely sure. Yeah. I have a friend or two who has camgirled before, and I said, like, I wanted to... Like, I find it fascinating. I find sex work fascinating in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to them about it a little bit. But I honestly, honestly, I'm not even trying to, like, cover any sort of horniness, have never really gotten into camgirling.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a weird...
It does seem to circle back to, like we were saying before, people that live online, you know, that are very online.
It feels a little voyeuristic. It feels a little, like... And it's great for camgirls that are making their living this way, but, like...
Yeah. Well, because part of it is the horniness and the sexiness, but part of it is also the emotional attachment that one forms. And I just don't have that interest.
I guess it would be sort of a, like, people are coming back to the same camgirl. And
so.
Right. Yeah, that would make sense. It's a personality. It's an influencer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Gurr is, like, figuring out... So Gurr is, okay, how about Harry Potter becomes a little too obsessed with Gurr's character and starts stalking Gurr.
Scary. This is a horror movie we're making now.
And so Gurr is, you know, camgirls in the evenings, but then, like, does... his grocery shopping during the day, and he's, you know, buying some mangoes, and he sees...
Is he doing a live stream of him grocery shopping?
Maybe he's posting, like, stories on Snapchat. So, but yes, like, Harry Potter has figured out that this is the grocery store that Gurr shops at. And so, Gurr... You know, today Gurr is feeling a little down. You just want some waffles and some tacos and some taquitos, as Gurr does.
All the wackiest of foods.
The funniest of foods.
Yes.
And he sees on the corner of his eye some movement. He looks.
It looked like an owl over there.
Whoa!
I'm so wacky.
Gurr just makes noises,
right? I don't remember what his voice even sounds like.
It's just like a high-pitched, like... kind of like a Bart Simpson style, but more high-pitched, more hyperactive.
Right. Let me concentrate. Let me channel him.
Just think of the Doom song.
I don't know what the Doom song is.
Doom, 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 doom. Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom. It was like the first episode.
That show was so good. Like, it was so funny.
So funny.
I guess this is just a dunk on invading Zoom episode.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Thank you for submitting Gurr to Fanfiction Writer's Room.
The design is real cute.
Yeah, I like the design.
His little costume.
I'm a robot.
Yeah.
I love grocery shopping. Got some waffles.
Ah, waffles! I was the chicken the whole time! There was an episode where he was the chicken the whole time.
Oh my God.
And Zim...
I just blew my mind.
Zim goes, I was wondering why that chicken was there. That was the joke. It was pretty good.
Zim, I'll give you one.
Yeah, you got one.
You got me again. Oh, you got me again. Those guys. Those crazy kids.
So, Harry Potter is stalking Gurr.
Boy. Looks like Gurr over there, doesn't it?
He's talking to his pet owl.
Yeah.
Hedwig. I think Gurr over there, buying those and mangoes.
Then Hedwig flies away and it goes bum, ba bum, 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 bum. Bum, ba-dum, bum,
and then the
bum,
Warner Brothers bum, logo swirls on screen.
Harry Potter and the toxic stalker.
And the toxic relationship.
Yeah. So I think Gurr, being the idiot he is, okay, this is what's up. So Harry Potter realizes that Gurr is a robot.
Oh.
Because the YouTube personality is in the lady outfit.
Right.
And then today he's shopping in his dog suit.
Right.
And so essentially what we have is the stalker who has built a version of Gurr in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And very literally...
Not the reality.
Not the reality.
Mm.
So.
Oi.
Oi.
That lady looks like a dog now in a grocery store. But.
What? How, is Harry going to get violent? Is he going to get sad?
What is he going to get?
So Harry Potter, as we all know, he's kind of just the goodest boy.
Yeah.
He's like just got a very good sense of right and wrong.
And has magic powers.
He's got magic powers. He really likes friends.
Rides on a broomstick. He
does ride on a broomstick.
Enjoys cauldron cakes.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. What else? Oh, I don't know.
I have notes. I
can't think of Harry Potter. He's just a boy.
He's brave.
He's just a boy.
He goes to great lengths to protect others. Mm-hmm. He puts others' needs first. He's instinctive.
Don't like injustice.
He's prideful.
Oh, you know who also...
He's compassionate.
You know who also loves justice?
Gurr?
Odo on the space station Deep Space Nine.
Okay, are you going to throw Odo in here?
No, but this is a great way to segue.
Oh, you're segueing.
Into my Trek adventure.
My Trek adventure. Oh, I was sure your words would leave me
unconscious. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my mind.
How's Trek?
Trek is very good. I'm on Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
Halfway through Deep Space Nine. And as I was telling you before, it always takes about halfway through any Star Trek series to really hit its stride.
Yes.
And realize what it is.
Yes.
And now Deep Space Nine has finally done that. And now it's great, and I can finally enjoy it fully. And there was a great episode. So, one of the characters, Odo, is a shapeshifter.
Mm-hmm.
He's a changeling.
Ooh.
So, in his humanoid form, he just has, like, the basic approximation of a face.
Okay.
Because the joke is, like, he's not good at human faces.
He's the one with the weird nose, right?
Yeah. It's just really bulbous and, like,
mm-hmm.
just a face made out of clay. And he is actually a liquid.
Oh.
He's just, like, this liquid thing. So he just turns into a human. And because, of course, they have very rudimentary CGI, but it's probably prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
So there's always just, like, excuses why he's not going to shapeshift. He just doesn't like doing it for others and blah, blah, blah. But finally, in one of the episodes, because there's bad changelings as well. The bad guys are the changelings in this series. They, like, put Odo on trial, and they judged him guilty for betraying his kind and siding with the humanoids, with the solids, as they call them. And so they turned him into a humanoid, so he can't shapeshift anymore. So they just completely wrote that out of this character, so now he's just learning how to be human.
Uh-oh. It's kind of like how What's-Her-Face in Next Generation, she just kind of stopped being psychic at a certain point. Right?
No.
She was psychic the whole time?
The empath? Deanna Troi?
Yeah.
I mean, her powers kind of waffle with how well they work.
Okay.
Depending on what is needed for the situation.
I thought just like they kind of forgot that she was psychic. Maybe
that's always there, but okay. she used to be much more prominently a, like, advisor to the captain.
Right.
But then they realized that the psychicness was kind of too powerful, so they just pulled her back and made her the ship's counselor instead.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of the captain's specific counselor.
So that's interesting.
They wrote out this very specific thing about him. And it was kind of like, well, I guess I can see why. And it was kind of like interesting emotional development for this character as he's like learning how to eat and stuff. And it was kind of neat. And then, like, that lasted all of like maybe 5-6 episodes. And then, like, he randomly finds a baby changeling, and he's trying to teach it how to shapeshift. But the baby changeling is too sick and it's gonna die. And at the end of the episode, he's like holding it in his hands, like it's just this gob of goo, hey? And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, like we didn't get enough time together. And he just like absorbs into his hands and he's like, I'm a shapeshifter again. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? They completely wrote, waffled back and forth between like, so now he's a shapeshifter again?
That's so weird. He was like,
why did we even go on this emotional journey with him?
Was it an okay emotional journey?
It was okay. It really just felt like trying to write this character in a having a twist happen to this character, sure. And then like maybe the fans didn't like it or something, or some mm-hmm. other writer were like, well, this isn't that interesting, and it felt very much like just walking back this idea that wasn't quite working. It was so weird how sudden it was just written out. Ah, he's a shapeshifter again. Yeah. Ah, go on.
I wonder if that's partially feels so sudden because of the binging.
Oh, I bet. It was probably more like half an entire season, if not a full season
right. of him. Because I just picked up a webcomic in a book form. I picked up Casey Green's Graveyard Quest.
Oh.
And I was, like, very surprised in how, like, quickly the plot starts.
Yeah.
I remembered it being a little more meandery at the beginning. But that's just because I had to wait, like, every, like, it only updated 3 times a week. So right. it was, like, but that equals, like, 6 pages in a book. So right? it was, like, 6 pages in. Oh, now he's on his adventure. Yeah. Oh,
two
right.
2 months worth.
Exactly.
Content.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, with linear stories, it especially feels that way because then there's not that episodic punchline, self-containedness to each episode. It's literally just like the next part of the sentence that a person was speaking. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good trek adventure.
And yeah, that's where I am.
Okay. So
could be hornier. Could be hornier. The character I was expecting to be horny, Bashir. His horniness has not panned out at all.
His horniness faded into the background?
Barely there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sometimes I feel like it's coming back, but it's just never there.
It's just not.
They're not nearly horny enough. And I want them all to be boning each other. I want there to be interpersonal relationships
where people date
and then break up and then date someone else. And it's all like within the main cast.
Yes.
They keep having relationships with, like, outsider third parties that we never see on the space station.
They're doing the thing on, like, a sitcom where it's, like, they introduce, this is the boyfriend. And it's, you're gonna last, like, 2 episodes, boyfriend.
Or, like, this person has just had the boyfriend for 10 episodes, and you're like, oh, yeah, fuck, she's got, like, this boring-ass boyfriend back on her.
Yeah.
What?
It's like, we know you're gonna get with who's the doctor in the Mindy Project?
Danny?
Danny. We know you're gonna get with Danny, Mindy.
Yeah.
Stop dating everyone.
Mindy really liked them.
Yeah.
I loved Danny, though. Oh, yeah. Man.
But now they're together, and I haven't actually watched the episodes where they're together.
Yeah.
I watched all the lead up to it, and I was like, oh, they got together. So I guess that's why Mindy dates everyone.
I guess, yeah.
Because I go like, will they, won't they? Mm-hmm. Like the dangling the keys in front of me.
But see, that's the problem. When they dangle it too long, when it's like, this is the payoff, I want it to more be just a natural thing where, like, within one episode, characters start flirting, and within the next episode, they're dating.
Yeah.
Maybe they date for, like, 4 episodes, and then they're done. Like, Buffy was really good with that. Characters would just date and then break up.
That's true.
It was like, it had been a big build-up to these characters dating, and then it was like, now they're not anymore.
Right.
But that's fine, and they're both still in the cast. It's just going in a different direction.
It's weird with, like, the Mindy Project or, like, a Friends where the whole thing is, like, will they, won't they? The Office.
Mm-hmm.
If Pam and Jim dated for 2 seasons and then broke up, it would be very weird because so much of the show was, like, are these two going to get together?
But very, like, laser focused on just that one thing.
That was the heart of the show, basically.
That show is a really weird show to watch in its entirety because it's so meant to be a short series. Because it is a short. Like,
I mean, it's based off the
Office.
Which was what?
It's like not even a full season. Yeah, yeah, it's a mini series. And it's so weird to watch The Full Office and then people will be watching it and they'll be like, Jimmy's so mean to Dwight. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, because he's just an asshole. It was supposed to be this flash in the pan, single shitty job he had, and then you assume he's left that job by the end of the series instead of 10 years later, 10 right. seasons worth, where they're,
I mean,
now they're a family and they all love each other, and it's so fucking weird. It's like, no, this is terrible. Jim and Pam don't like this company, they don't yeah. like this job, and Jim was a big fat asshole to Dwight because. He would. That's what his character was.
But I mean,
he was
like,
us in our shitty jobs.
I don't. Have you watched The British Office?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you know that part of Jim's character is, or Tim in the yeah. the British Office, is like he's like, this is a shitty job that I hate, and then he's still there when they revisit it 2 years later. Let's try to wrap this up. So
what are we doing?
Harry Potter has now realized that
Ger's a robot.
That Ger's a robot.
And now, does he realize that Ger is an alien robot?
I don't think
so. Is there a sci-fi twist to this?
I don't think that's super important. I think what's important is that Harry Potter, this goodest boy,
mm-hmm.
had this unhealthy obsession. And of course he knew it was unhealthy. Because mm-hmm. he's smart enough to realize, like, he shouldn't be stalking this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not only is he stalking this person and feels like an asshole for doing it, turns out that person doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
How would Harry Potter react?
Well, if I know anything about Harry Potter, he would use magic.
You would cast Patronus?
He would form a bond with Ger
mm-hmm.
that becomes solidified in prophecy. And yes. now they are connected for life.
Okay.
And if one dies, the other, one may not live. Well, one dies when the other one is alive. Listen, it's been a really long time since I've read Harry Potter. For one cannot live while the other
man,
survives.
I don't even remember that.
It was Sybil Trelawney's prophecy. You know,
right.
why he's the goodest boy.
Okay. Well, I think our
what
fanfiction?
Is he has to kill Ger now.
Oh, okay.
Or he has to build a super robot so that the robots can battle it out. Does he build Ultron?
Yes.
Starring James Spader.
He builds James Spader.
Well, okay. So he kidnaps James Spader, takes his brain. No, yes. he gets some garbage.
Yes.
Builds a robot uh-huh. and puts James Spader's brain in it.
Exactly.
And that's how. Because he watched the Avengers movie and he realized
he
that's how
it.
You build a robot.
Yeah.
That's what they did on the Avengers. And he builds his own Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And now he needs Ultron and Ger to fight to the death. For Harry's amusement?
Yes.
Or he just wants a robot to kill Ger.
He just wants a robot to kill Ger because he's so angry that
yes.
his love, his infatuation
mm-hmm.
isn't real.
Yes.
So he sends James Spader bot to fight Ger.
Ultratron.
Ultra Spader. Ultra. No, Ultratron.
Like Ultron. But even better than Ultron.
Oh, Ultra.
Ultratron.
Tron.
Ultra Ultron.
Ultra Ultron.
Yeah.
I like Ultra Ultron.
Ultra Ultron. Yes, that's him.
So he sends Ultra Ultron to fight Ger.
Uh huh.
And, like, this is what happens is Ultra Ultron is like, I am here to destroy you.
And Ger's in the middle of shooting a video.
Okay.
And so their battle is captured entirely
yes.
on video and does go viral.
And Ger goes, ah, I'm going to fight you too. And they do a bunch of cool poses.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like they're about to fight and builds a whole bunch of anticipation.
Oh, man.
And then Ger's like, oh, I'm tired. You want to get waffles? And Ultra Ultron's like, I could go for some waffles.
I could go for some waffles. This is me, James Spader, everybody's favorite actor from those movies back in the day. Did you know he was part of the, like, Brat Pack?
No.
He was in movies with, like, was he? Yeah, he was like a teen heartthrob
oh.
back in the day.
Huh.
I only know him from the movie Secretary.
Yeah.
Where he has a very sexy relationship with Maggie Gyllenhaal? Perhaps?
Yeah, that's the one from
yeah.
that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he was a robot. That's his entire career.
And so then they walk off into the sunset, holding hands, off to get waffles. And Harry's like, ah, what? No, fight, no.
My plans have been ruined. Curse you, Gerbot. I'll get you next time. And now Harry Potter is a supervillain.
Yes.
Trying to destroy Gerbot.
It's career. Very much like, you know how they always tease that, like, Harry Potter was going to become Voldemort a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, now he is.
Yeah.
He's starting down his journey.
He's starting down his journey.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Forgot my accent. Curse you, Gerbot. In it?
What? What are you getting? Some tea and crumpets? No, you're getting waffles. I don't even know what that is.
I want you to fight.
Wanted you to...
We have fisticuffs and scrapping in the street with the lads, you know. It always gets a little bit cockney with me.
Yeah.
You go Australian and I go cockney.
Yeah. Neither of us know how to do accents at all.
But we sure love it.
We sure love to just do it anyways. Would you like to do some sandwich criticism?
Sure.
One thing you liked about our
what's
story.
Your favorite sandwich? Mine is a Reuben. Just kidding, I've never had a Reuben in my life.
I think I've had a Reuben, and it was too much. I was like, this is too much.
You know how, like, some sandwiches you're supposed to dip into something? Like a beef
dip? Yeah, like a beef dip.
Why would you want your sandwich wet?
I don't know, it's super gross.
It's just wrong.
Yeah. I once, my friend was like, I'll be there soon, order me some food. And I was like, beef dip. And then she got there and she was like, oh, I'm trying not to eat meat. It's like, you should have told me that.
Here's this hunk of meat. You should dip it in this meat sauce. The beef dip is probably made out of beef juice.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure it's like gravy or whatever.
Sad gravy.
I'm just gonna say that fan fiction was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
But we had a good time doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We're doing it in the evening, and we've never done that before.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We're kind of thrown off our rhythm.
I am busy this weekend, so
mm-hmm.
I suggested we do it in the evening. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
On Friday, no less.
On Friday,
on
no
Sunday.
Less.
We usually record on Sunday afternoons.
And so, it's a mess. But hey, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time.
Good. If you'd like to suggest characters, send them over to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
Thanks to the band known as Seawater Bliss for the use of their song Theme from Teen Wolf 2 as our intro and outro.
And remember, when in doubt, just AU that garbage.